Lindsay Simon of Balanced Life. Good morning.
Good morning. Hello, and thanks for having me back on. It's always a pleasure.
Always fun to have you here.
Yeah, thank you.
Just kind of chat ideas, and I love talking to people who do what you do, because I think one of the greatest things I heard from someone in your line of work, you know, was, and it wasn't in a setting where I was, you know, their client or, you know, where they really were in depth with what I had going on, but it was more, if you find this helpful, use it.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, file it away, because it might be helpful someday.
Right.
And there's not always a one size fits all, but mm-hmm. in general, some really good tips on how to live.
Right. So I am a licensed marriage and family therapist. My training is to not only help individuals cope and treat and help diagnose for mental health, but also life issues, any kind of psychosocial, emotional, interpersonal relationship.
I love that, psycho issues.
Yeah, psychosocial. We call it. Yeah, so that's this.
I know a few people that.
So that means from a holistic perspective, we look at not just the individual, but the systems that they're in and how that affects them as well, and the relationships and their families and their partners. So that's kind of what I do. But in the training of that, we've been given a lot of coping tools to help others with. So part of having an expertise, someone who has the training and the expertise, is that I can talk to you, get to know you, and say, you know, it sounds like these type of mm-hmm. tools would be a good fit for you. So it's me kind of going through my own file in my head, yeah. in the library, and figuring out an offering, you know, this could be helpful, this could be helpful, which of these seems like it would be a good fit or something that would meet you where you're at for what you're willing to do and what you want with your own goal.
Ah, key word. What are you willing to do?
Yes.
That's a big one.
Right.
Yeah, so yeah, I think that's probably where a lot of people stumble.
Right, and you can probably think of in any relationship, whether it's a business one, a family one, or to yourself, this whole should thinking. That,
a lot of should.
Right, so we want to stop shooting all over yourself.
Or shouldn't think.
Right, shouldn't or should. So when we think of that, that's actually a very harsh, judgmental, critical way of thinking. And when you do that towards yourself, oh, I should have done that. Should have done that. Why did I do that? You internalize that, and that affects your self-esteem negatively. It could lead to depression, negative thoughts about yourself. And what we really want to do is, rather than beat yourself up over the past, we want to learn from the past. And that's two very different perspectives, because beating yourself up is being stuck in the past. So when you do it toward yourself, oh, I should have done that, I should have done that. How do you then feel when you do that?
Not good. It's funny because I had that experience this weekend. My daughter was down with her sister and brother-in-law, and I had a pretty aggressive list of things to accomplish over the weekend. We're leaving on vacation, and, you know, when you have kind of a kid-free house, well, you usually can get some housework done and it stays clean, but, it was a pretty aggressive list of projects that needed to mm-hmm. happen, and getting ready for winter, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And, you know, I didn't get everything done on the list. And I'm a list person. I love to cross things off lists. And it was, but I consciously told myself, you know what? You did good. I got a lot of stuff done. Wasn't everything, but I did good. And it really, it did right. change my mindset.
Yep.
Instead of looking at the list going, oh, I still have to do this, I still have to do that, and why didn't you do this, or why did you take, you know, an hour to read or watch this, you know, and why did you, you know, before I'd beat myself up if I took downtime. You know, you're lazy, why didn't you do, but I said, you know what, I did good.
That's amazing that you were able to do that. So
yeah,
what
it was amazing.
So, I like to always give credit to people when they're able to use a coping skill that they weren't even aware that they were using. So we call that cognitive restructuring. You're able to change the what we would call cognitive distortion or thinking of the should thinking.
Mm-hmm.
The should thinking is a negative thinking pattern that helps beat you up and beat you down. What you did is you came up with a more realistic and helpful positive thinking, alternative thinking of, you know what, I did good. And you had what we call realistic expectations for yourself. You kind of looked at the list and realized, wow, this maybe was not realistic, and aggressive. A little aggressive. Like that word.
It's an aggressive list.
Aggressive list, and then being one flexible. You know, just because I wrote it on a list doesn't mean it has to get done. It's supposed to. This is my ideal goal list.
Yeah,
to call it.
Yeah,
and then
your day was like 80 hours long, maybe.
Right.
Yeah. It's in it, but you know, it was interesting though, is that it really had to be a cognitive choice for me,
right,
to run that in my head, because yeah, my natural thing was, oh, I didn't do this, I didn't get that done. When am I going to do it? And that's where we go. I think we are kind of a Velcro for negativity and Teflon for positivity.
Right, that when something negative is said to us, we have a great over-exaggeration and weight that's put on it, more so than the positives. And that takes work. That can be changed. We can start focusing on the positives and appreciate.
It takes work.
Yeah.
That word too. Willing and work is what I've heard today.
Willing, be willing to.
Willing to work.
Right. And that's the thing about therapy. A lot of people are, what is it? Why would I go and talk to someone? There's so many benefits. And we're talking about right now one particular facet, which is creating more positive thinking through the help of someone who can break down what are your current unhelpful thinking patterns and how can we change those to be more positive. Then you actually practice that with your therapist, and then you can have homework. Now, that's only if that's where you're at.
Well, you know, I'm going to give you guys a little plug for your industry, because, I think I know how you're going to answer this. I've done therapy before.
Mm-hmm.
I'll put it out there, people. I've done this. No shame in the game. However, the times I have done it, and it's three times, and not just once, three
different therapists.
And it was, each time was in crisis.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to recommend to people, for what it's worth, because I'm listening to what you're saying and these tools and changing, and that it would probably be beneficial. And I'm speaking, from my own experiences, is we got two crisis points and did this, to perhaps, maybe if you're not in crisis,
right,
but going, okay, this could be better, or, why do I keep kind of running into this little wall? To perhaps establish with a therapist that, get that relationship built so that, one, you have someone if there is crisis, or two, maybe, not necessarily because life happens, but maybe you won't find yourself in that crisis.
You bring up such a wonderful point, and thank you.
You're welcome.
That's
my plug for your industry. Because I'm looking, thinking, and listening to what you're saying, going, boy, that sure would have been nice to not have to try to establish the relationship as everything's falling apart.
And we can think of this as the words, it's preventative care.
Yeah.
It really is, because, one, the purpose of therapy can be self-exploration, improvement in, if you're functioning it with work, in your relationships, your self-esteem, how you feel about yourself, and it does not need to be in crisis, because we're actually implementing this on a bigger level, let's say, with the medical field,
mm-hmm.
right? We now, people are much more aware of what causes heart disease. Let's give an example, and what a big part nutrition and exercise play. So a lot of people are now regularly exercising and changing their diet, removing the, Ritz crackers and replacing them with whole wheat.
Ooh,
and
Ritz crackers. Oreos and Ritz crackers I don't really care for.
Right, and so, there's lots of research coming out about how bad those are for you, and it's a lot of chemicals, and but we're knowing more about this, right? And so we're doing preventative work. The mental health is the same thing, that we need to consistently have emotional health we want on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, things that take care of us to help prevent crisis, because ultimately is we want, when difficult situations do happen in life, which happen to everybody.
Yeah.
Right?
They're
life happens, right?
Yeah.
That you have the coping skills, the know-how, the support systems in place to cope with them so that they don't become huge crisis, hospitalizations or like anything to that level, or to the point where you lose the ability to continue in school, or start levels of functioning decrease through where they really create much bigger problems.
Yeah.
We really want to be preventative about that, and that is part of having a relationship with a therapist, and that it does not need to have any kind of diagnosable condition. That just like you would go regularly to a doctor's visit, you know, you have your wellness check.
Yep.
It's wellness, overall health and wellness. That doesn't mean you have to go weekly of any sort, but connecting with someone and then working on any issues you've been wanting to work through.
Yeah. Well, I just, like I said, I know that's kind of off topic, but just struck me as you were going through. I'm like, yeah, you know, why wait till you're in crisis? And, you know, if you can, it's kind of like finding cancer early or something where it's like, oh, okay, well, just, and you're good, versus right. getting there going, hey, you're stage four. Get everything in order.
Right, and I think part of that comes with normalizing therapy and counseling into recognizing it's not just in crisis. It also helps in crisis. We want to you know, deter you in crisis.
Call, please.
Yes, please do reach out. That normalizing it, and there are, you know, California is a progressive state, generally speaking, and most of the time when I am in, when I got my training in San Diego or when I'm in San Francisco, most of my friends all have therapists. That it's the norm. It's more normal to have a therapist than
to
not.
Funny?
And so let's try to catch up.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it is interesting, because I know this is where you have a whole other topic for us this morning. Sort of. I mean, it all connects. But
yeah.
Lots of holidays are upon us, which can bring stress, and we're kind of
right.
laughing. We're doing a vacation that we're leaving on, and definitely involves some family, extended family, things like that.
Right.
And it was so funny, because in a text this morning, I had to kind of chuckle, because whenever you get family going, especially extended, you know, reunion type things, there's always, you know, I go, we haven't even left, and there's already an issue. It probably won't affect us in one way or another, but someone else who thought this and that, and okay, well, you make sure you tell, you know, cousin so-and-so. I'm like, oh, my gosh, okay. But, you know, you kind of have to laugh. So with the holidays and these families and things, you know, a lot of stress comes on. Things are
right.
moving at lightning speed. And I know for me, we haven't been all together. We haven't done this kind of trip in, over a decade now. And there's some trepidation about the whole thing and excitement. And
right.
I really, especially the Disney, I'm going to Disneyland. And I really want to savor that.
Right. So we had been briefly talking about trying to stay in the present moment.
Yeah.
And I'm actually going to relate this to our first opening conversation with the should statements, because essentially should statements, and anyone who's listening going, oh my gosh, I should myself all the time, or I do that
Queen
often, that this will be a really helpful coping tool that I'm going to give, because that's being stuck in the past, essentially. So when you should yourself, that's you're beating yourself up for something that happened in the past. And when you should others, that's where anger comes from, because you think someone should have done it this way, and they supposed to have done it like this. And what that is, it's getting stuck in the past. What we want to do is remain in the present, look to the past to learn from it, so that we can make better decisions in the here and the now. Because ultimately, we're living in the here and the now. You know, life is happening right now, right now. Right now. But our minds time travel.
Oh, yeah.
So when our mind goes into the past, that's sometimes those should statements look like that. That's not learning from the past. It's getting stuck in it. And that's where depression comes from, anger and resentment. So what we want to do, instead of should, this is a great little tool.
Write
this down, everybody. Or just really remember it and play this back when I post it on our website. It would have been preferable if.
Ooh.
So rather than, I totally should have picked up the mail before I left, realizing that you had missed something when you went on vacation. It would have been preferable had I remembered to pick up the mail. However, I didn't, and I can't change the past. It is what it is. So what can I do in the here and now to fix that? All right, I can call Betsy the neighbor and ask her to get it. I can just say, I'm going to accept it. It is what it is. It's going to be late. Okay. And let it go. Knowing what's in your control and out of your control. The past is out of your control. We can learn from it to make better decisions in the here and now. And that feels better.
It does. I did that with something a few last month, I think. It was, you know, like you said, I could should myself all over the place on
right.
it. But I really, again, had to stop and say, you know what? Nothing I can do about it. It's mm-hmm. done. Move forward. It, what would have perhaps caused a sleepless night didn't.
Right. So great work. See, look at another application of a healthy coping tool.
It's taken me a while.
So how this could work with relatives is oftentimes we have resentments from the past. Now, remember, we can't change it. And this doesn't give permission to let people get away with things. You're not saying it's okay what people did in the past. But to hold on to resentment about things in the past only hurts yourself.
Yeah.
It hurts the relationship. It hurts your family. Right? So it's rather than Uncle Joey should have brought turkey last year, whatever it is. It would have been preferable had Uncle Joey had done that last year. You know, it happened. So what do we do this year to make sure that doesn't happen? And so that's staying in the present.
Don't let him drink before dinner.
Uncle Joey again.
Yeah, at Uncle Joey.
At Uncle Joey. We all have one.
Yeah. And if you don't know who yours is, look in the mirror. It might be you.
So,
sorry.
Coping tool.
Yeah.
Self-actualization and realization.
Just kidding.
So the idea is we let go of resentments about the past because that hurts us. At the same time, when we're with Uncle Joey, we have our own limits and boundaries. We don't let Uncle Joey, when he's intoxicated, sit near the kids.
Yeah.
If he is swearing, say we ask him to leave. You know, we have our boundaries.
You do have to set boundaries.
Right.
Absolutely. It's not let them, you know, it's not the, you know, should stuff, but learn from the past and set those boundaries.
And that's here in the now, setting boundaries. Here in the now. And you also use the past to learn from what? Boundaries may not have worked or did work, and you set those in here now.
Yep.
So that's one tool for stuff that comes up about the past with family. Now we have fears or worry mm-hmm. or anxiety about the future. Because
and that's all over the place right now.
Right, because Thanksgiving's coming up, and we're going, oh my gosh, I have to see so-and-so, I have to do this, I have to pack, I have to's, right?
Oh, my have to is pretty good right now.
So when we have the thinking pattern, I have to, I need to, what if, that's that catastrophic, well, what if this happens and this and this and this, that's all future-oriented forecasting, we call. And what we want to do with the future, again, we want to stay present moment, we want to look to the future to set goals and to help us plan so we know what to do in the here and now. So we stay still in the present. We just look to the future and say, I want to get to San Diego.
Yeah, how do I get there?
How do I get there? I'm going to set up this plan. I'm going to schedule. I'm going to do this. And then you live your life in the here and now and follow that plan to reach that goal. Rather than just staring at that future goal, oh, my God, what if this happens? What if this happens? I have to do this. That's where anxiety comes from.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a whole nother coping skill, right?
Well, that is, it's really, I must be getting good as I get old or something, because, there's a lot going on. I mean, there's kids, there's family, we've got a house sitter coming, I've got work stuff. I mean, it is kind of stressful to take a vacation, which is kind of sad, but things like, for example, this is my own weirdness, I own it, I know it's mine, of having to have the house perfect for the house sitter.
Mm.
You know, obviously I don't want nasty bathrooms or, you know, normal stuff that you would
right.
hopefully live normal, you know, kind of your normal level of clean.
Right.
But really letting go of the idea that come tomorrow at noon or whatever, my house has to be sparkly because I have a house sitter staying at my house. It's like, no, okay, run the vacuum, make sure the bathrooms are, you know, usable and clean, and there's
right.
clean towels and all that, but, you know, I don't need to get the dust out of the cuckoo clock necessarily, you know, kind of thing. And letting go of what, is that really that important?
And, you know, that goes back to setting realistic expectations for yourself. That's being kind to yourself, being realistic. Now, I like the question that's always really helpful. What advice would you give a good friend in this situation?
Yeah.
that helps take you out of your own, because most times people are much harsher towards themselves than others. And we really want to change that.
Isn't that the truth?
Right? We want you to love yourself just as much as you love everyone else, and to be just as kind to yourself. So to help do that, sometimes we don't directly do it because that might not be where you're at. So we say, you know what? What if, you know, let's go with the imaginary Betsy neighbor again. What if Betsy came over and shared with you, oh my gosh, my house cleaner's coming tomorrow, and I'm feeling so self-conscious, and I need to get this clean. I need the cuckoo clock is dirty, and oh my God, what am I going to do? How am I going to get all this done? Now, would you say, Betsy, you're right. You need to have that.
Your house
perfect.
Is gross.
Your house is gross. You need to be perfect, because if you're not, no one's going to love you. Would you say that to Betsy?
No, of course not.
Right.
Yeah.
So what we want to say is, what would we say to Betsy then?
Well, I could say what I'm saying to myself. If it's that big of a deal, I'll just throw her another $100 and she can clean it while she's here.
Right. So that's good realistic thinking.
Yeah, you don't know. I mean, like I said, I'm not going to stay up all night. So, but it's a journey to get there.
Right.
It's really, it does. It takes running those tapes. I mean, purposely hitting play.
Yep.
Versus the ones that kind of run automatically in the background.
Right, and this is where, you know, having a therapist or someone who is a professional who can pick those out as your, and help you, you could speed that process up. So it might take 10 years of self-help books, and oh my gosh, I've been doing this for how long? And I didn't realize, if you go in and have a couple sessions with a therapist, they might be able to identify that, and because really, the work you're doing with a therapist is self-awareness and insight. That once you become more aware of your own thinking, your own emotions, how they emotions affect your behaviors, and then what can you do about it, and feeling like you have that self-efficacy of being able to implement tools to change the situation, to feel better, and to love yourself more, and to be compassionate to yourself and others, that the help of going into therapy and purposely working on it can happen really fast.
Yeah. I think having that third party kind of look in and be like, okay, because there's no bias, there's no, you know, no skin in the game.
Right.
For them to say, okay, this is kind of what I'm seeing, let's try this, and
right.
You know, give it a shot. It is, but it's work.
Right, and so you bring up the non-judgmental acceptance. And that's part of staying present moment. So that's what a therapist does with their clients. They non-judgmentally accept whatever they're saying. So they're not judging.
Yeah.
Right? That's
yeah.
What's great. I'm not going in and kind of say anything. And how can we do that to ourselves? That's a tough one. How can we be that kind, compassionate voice to ourselves and to our relatives?
Let me ask you this. This is way kind of off the subject, but it's a quick answer, I think. Are women worse than men, as a rule? I mean, if
what are you talking about?
As far as being judgmental to ourselves.
So, in a different kind of way. That has to do with male-female socializations. Mm-hmm. And we're talking general.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very general.
It's not everyone fits in a box.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, women are more judgmental about physical appearance.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot more body image issues, and that has to do if
that's
you look at
show. Yeah.
Right, we look at any magazine, kind of
turn
what,
the TV on, yeah.
Right, so there's we have to fight the objectification of women, which
they're airbrushed.
Right,
the pictures aren't real.
So we have that factor, and then we have that only this one particular body type is being photographed, and
that is then manufactured.
Right, and so. So it's not reality, and that's really not what people fall in love with. That's what is superficially people get initially might be attracted to, but that's not what holds relationships. Emotional connection is what holds relationships, and that therefore when you feel emotionally connected to yourself and you have that self-esteem, like you love yourself, that is so attractive to other people. But learning that is a very difficult and a much different journey for a typical male and female. Now, men have different insecurities.
Sure.
More about accomplishments and being able to provide and different projections put onto them. But we see a gradual shift happening, that the male and female roles are not as stringent as they were, you know, thinking in the 50s and the 60s.
Yeah.
That there's this progression happening, but yes, there is definitely currently different insecurities at different heights, and women tend to be programmed to be caretakers more, and they're actually biologically programmed more to be caretakers. So their focus is often on other people and tend to ignore some of their own needs.
Sure.
At a very high cost, where they become resentful towards others, and that can lead to depression, it can lead to anxiety, and feeling not good enough.
Yep.
So really want to, really the solution on both ends, no matter where you are in the passive aggressive, it's assertiveness training.
Yeah.
So really becoming more assertive, being able to know what you feel, what you want, and express that, and being okay with saying that out loud.
It is. And I think also, you know, expressing, one of the, I know I work with my daughter a lot on it, you know, she's wonderful, and she's usually very much knows what she wants, and learning how to express that in a, you know, in a loving way or in a kind way, or still hold your ground.
Right.
Still, you know, but to be able to, and we're, I think we're seeing a lot of that, especially in the media right now, people very passionate about their beliefs, their feelings, and that is great, that they know what they believe and are willing to stand up for it. I think that is a really cool thing, and I think it's awesome we live in a country where we can do that. But being able to do it in a way that I think we sometimes, in your own personal life, I know when that resentment builds up and it blows up and I'm going to make my stand now.
Right.
It comes across in a very negative way, where my message is probably lost, what I'm saying, what my need is, what my fear is, what I'm feeling, because I'm just like, bah!
Right. And so this goes back to, we want to stay away from shooting other people, right? We're projecting what we think they should do onto them, which all that does is create defensiveness, not helping them educate or learn. A wall will go up, right? As soon as you tell someone what you think they should do or supposed to do, or even hide it a little more in your wording of, it might be helpful if, you know, you're still telling them, it's still judgmental, critical, and it's really sharing how you feel. I feel frustrated when, and then about a behavior they did, not a personality trait. So not when you never treat me well, you know, that's not helpful. I feel frustrated when you are 30 minutes late from work and I don't hear from you because it really scares me. And then you give them the opportunity to respond, to change, or whatever it is, that no one can challenge a feeling. All feelings are okay.
Sure, and it's, you know, I think a lot, I had a friend, as we've come out of the election, say some really mean things to me. Mm. Basically that I'm an idiot and uneducated and wrong. And I understand that her outburst was probably from a place of passion and fear and upset. And I get that. But it's, you know, it was hurtful.
Right.
And I think we need to get to a point, everybody needs to get to a point where there are things we're not going to agree on.
Right.
And I don't, you know, to say someone is uneducated and you're just wrong in thinking something, I mean, I think there's some black and whites in the world. I mean, obviously, I think we can all agree we're not going to go out and kill somebody, you know, but the fact of the matter is that we are all coming from a different belief system.
Right. And so accepting that.
Yeah, and, you know,
non-judgmentally.
Being able to discuss and say, this is why I believe this way.
Yeah.
I think goes a long way in our large conversation that's happening nationally and in our relationships when you're disagreeing with someone, a spouse or family member, friend, to be able to communicate the, this is why I think this way, this has been my experience, this is what I've heard, which maybe is true, maybe is not, do your research, know that media is not your go-all source.
Right.
And I'm saying that being in the media. Trust me. Don't listen to anything I say. But
People can put anything on Facebook, right?
Anything can go on Facebook, radio, TV, whatever. You know, we can say whatever.
Yeah.
You know, how do you know what I'm making up and what I'm not? It's theater. It's entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And to remember that. But to have those discussions, whether it's the spouse that's late, you know, what's going, you know, why?
Right.
You know, yes, this is how I feel. It scares me that something's happened to you. And for the other person to be able to hear that and then say, either maybe they're like, geez, I never thought about that. I won't do it. I'm sorry.
Right.
Or, you know, this is why. This is what's going on. You know, this so-and-so grabs me when I'm walking out of the office. Or,
yeah,
you know, I get in the car. I don't want to use the phone while I'm driving because I don't want to get in an accident.
Yeah.
Or, you know, to be able to come to that. Where is this coming from?
Right, and I think, you know, you bring up the good point with the divide that's currently in the nation. That, you know, I had a friend that I really respect that recently put a post up, and he said, "Listen, I don't want to fight anybody. I'm curious to know what your points are. What led you to vote for that candidate? Please, let's have a sit down." And so he had a couple of his friends from both sides sit down and have an open discussion about their points, where they were able to kind of go back and forth and validate certain things and kind of dispute certain things, when show kind of completely helpful, a helpful conversation.
Helpful. And you may not walk away agreeing. You may not change the person's mind. You're certainly not going to do it on Facebook.
So it helps understand.
Yeah.
Have empathy for the other person.
Absolutely. And there's validity on both sides.
Right.
You know, and you'll align where your beliefs are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine, because you don't want to live in a place that's in conflict with your beliefs.
Right.
I get it. But to have those conversations.
Right.
And understand and be, you know, okay, you know, I see where you're coming from.
Right.
May change your point of view. It may not. But to not be at each other.
Right. So I wrote a post a couple after the election that it said along the lines of, when someone comes at you with hate, come at them with more love.
Yeah.
And be curious. Be open. Be okay to be different. And okay to have different opinions and beliefs and lifestyles. And open rather than defensive. Because defensive just creates more negativity. And it's kind of, how can we use this as an opportunity to heal and grow as a nation and to more understand? Because it likely a lot of these issues were here. This is just uncovering them.
The issues were here. I think, I know we're having worked on campaigns in the past. The main objective of a campaign is to win.
Mm-hmm.
However you need to. And it's probably why I don't do it anymore. But it's, you know, it is. It's like, okay, you have, it's like you said, living in the moment. This, we can't change what's happened.
Right.
Like it, hate it. I mean,
it is what it is.
It is what it is. And how do you move forward peacefully? Because it's, a house divided does not stand.
Right.
And it's, you know, you may not agree with things, but it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And how do we now work together toward what our, you know, find what those common goals are? Because
right.
They're there.
Right.
They're there. No matter who would have won, they would have been there. And how, you know, let's focus on that and moving that forward. And I think, you know, I always throw in there, one person will not change everything. So, trust me.
And so on the other side, because you're talking about not getting stuck in the past, how do we not get stuck in a potential forecasted future that is uncertain?
Yeah, tomorrow's guaranteed to no one.
Right, so there's a lot of uncertainty currently, and with that, a lot of fear.
Sure.
And the reality is, we don't know.
I
personally don't know.
And, I don't know. Could be great, could
be bad. Most people in this area, I think, don't really know. There's no way to know what's going to happen in the future. So the more energy you give to, there's 100 million possibilities of directions, that you take away the attention to the here and now.
Yeah.
And so how do we recognize what you would prefer to have happen? You
sure.
can say, I'd prefer this, I'd prefer this.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing at certain things, if things happen, what decisions you might make. However, if you spend time putting in and energy into a potential uncertain future that's taking away from the here and now. And so by putting your energy into the present moment, non-judgmentally, this is the key with present moment awareness. It's not sitting here going, oh, this sucks, and oh my God, I can't believe this and this. It's, okay, this is what this is. This is what's in my control. This is what's out of my control. I'm going to focus my energy on the things in my control. Currently, what I wake up and have for breakfast is in my control.
Yeah.
What I say to my spouse before I leave in the morning is in my control. How much energy I'm going to put into which project today is in my control. You know, there's focus on the things in your control. And as the other things come up, as they become present moment, this is happening now, then you will have the skills and the coping skills to handle that because you've been remaining present and taking care of yourself, eating well, you know, sleeping, self-care, protecting your relationships, talking about your fears and your worries and helping work through those to remain present. You'll be able to handle whatever comes your way.
Yeah, like I said, the sun still comes up in the morning. We'll all be okay, but it's an interesting situation right now because emotions are high.
Right, so support each other, love each other,
yeah.
Love yourself. And figure out what does that mean? What is something that you can do today that would be compassionate, kind, and healing for yourself?
I like that. Maybe I'll go get a pedicure.
Ooh, good one.
Gotta do the pedicure.
Right.
But yeah, it is. It's an interesting time, and I think these are such great things to think about, to call you about.
And, right.
You know, and like I said, don't wait till you're in crisis. Don't think that I think there's a lot of misconception that therapy is, you know, oh, my husband's left me. Oh, my child is, you know, whatever
right.
The problem is. A crisis in life. We wait till, you know, what is it? Job, spouse, death. I mean, the handful of
right.
Major life-changing crises type things. And, you know, don't wait for that to happen.
Right. And it's helpful at all times. You know, there's always stuff to work on and to grow. There's always self-growth, self-exploration, finding coping skills that can work, whether it's communication skills, whether it's at work wanting help, stress management. It's help managing pain. You know, therapists also help with coping with and accepting and managing physical ailments that happen too, because the mind body is so connected.
Yeah.
So treat your mind like you treat your body. Preventative. Try to, if you want to reach out to anyone. And another key factor with finding a therapist is one that is a good fit, personality wise.
And that is why you guys have kind of a solution for that.
Right. So we have four different therapists who are at our office. And if you call and talk to us and tell us what your needs are, what your limits are with a calendar, with your schedule, with your finances, whatever your situation is, if we don't have the right fit for you, well, which you can try, we will always refer you to other agencies in town that can be a better fit. And you can always have a free 15-minute consultation with any of the therapists.
Nice.
So anytime you want to call in and you just want to say, you know what, let me just chat with someone who might be a good fit. This is what's going on with me. Our office manager, Jenny, is great at knowing what everybody's greatest strengths are and what calendar works with everybody's schedules work and everything with your schedule. And she said, you know, this sounds like you'd be a good fit for Lindsay or a good fit for Sarah. Why don't I set up a 15-minute consultation? And you can ask, and then she'll fit you in our schedules, and it's a free 15-minute consultation. We chat with you, see what it is you're looking for, and see if we think we might be a good fit. And if not, we refer you to who we think would be.
Excellent. You guys make it simple. How do people get a hold of you, Lindsay, if they want to check it out?
So, good question. So, an easy way, if anyone's sitting in front of a computer, you can go to our website, which is abalancedlifetahoe.com. We have our different clinicians are up there on the list, and so you can read about each of the person. And it also has our phone number on there, 530-544-1748. 1748. And so if you want to call, we can talk to Jenny, talk about setting up an appointment, see what our options are. We also have some group classes, too, some parenting. We have anger management. We have a healthy alternatives program. So we also can be connected by email. If you go to our website, they have a contact us. And you can just send an email, and that'll go right to our office, and we'll respond to you within 24 hours.
You make it easy.
Oh, thanks. That's what we're trying to do. Make life easier, happier, more balanced.
I love it. Well, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, Lindsay Simon, every once a month. I know we're off a week because of Thanksgiving next
yes.
Thursday, but you'll be back next month as we... Boy, we'll be right in the heart of the holiday season. When
oh,
you
yeah.
We'll
have lots of good stuff to talk about then.
Yeah,
right?
Don't throw the eggnog.
Stay present moment.
Yeah.
Enjoy your time with your family.
You
enjoy.
Do. And, you know, that's, you know, people, kind of cliche, but if you're not enjoying the moment, you miss it. If you're stuck
right.
in the past or you're worrying and fretting about the future, you've now given away today.
Right, and that's where fulfillment in life comes from, being present and emotionally connected to your relationships.
So there you go. Connect.
Yes, and feel free to reach out and have help connecting
that's
by
right.
going to abalancedlifetahoe.com.
Very easy. Well, you have a very lovely Thanksgiving, and eat turkey.
Thank you. You too, and stay present.
I will. I'm going to savor my meal.
Yes. That's a great way to stay present.
Go hang with Mickey Mouse for a little bit.
Yes.
If it gets that bad, I'll just get in a small world and keep circling.
That works as well, sometimes, occasionally, for small periods of time.
Yeah, the song. Yeah, you're kind of stuck in your head. But very, very good information, and be kind to each other.
Yes.
Kind to yourself. Start there and let it flow out.
Be curious.
Ask questions.
Yes.
Yeah, because like I said, I have always said, usually the truth is somewhere in the middle.
Right, exactly.
So, there you go. Well, we will see you next month.
All right, thank you so much, Jen. Looking forward to it.
You're welcome. Lindsay Simon with A Balanced Life here in Tahoe. Check him out on Facebook, on the Internet. Give him a call. Don't wait till things are completely falling apart, but if they are, you know where to find them. It is 9:49. You're listening to K-Tahoe, the new 96.1 and AM 590.